Okay.
So last,
the last two shirim, we were focusing more of the general chinuch issues, which we pointed out. It's going to come from this again, but now we're going to try to now transition to specifically the chinuch of Yom Kippur, which is really the inyan of our sugya. So with that, we're going to have to go into the Shachar V'Tarya. Finally, we've been holding off for a little bit. But just to point out that the general focus of the Shachar V'Tarya and the sugya on the daf are really the different stages of chinuch. The different stages of chinuch which apply. And we're going to try to keep things organized by, as you could tell, it's a complicated sugya. We try to keep everything organized by really focusing on each category on its own. First, we're going to start with Hashlama D'Oraisa. Then we're going to go to Hashlama D'Rabbanan. Then we're going to go to Chinuch L'Shos. Then we're going to go to Katan Shlo Higiel Chinuch. Try to analyze each category independently to try to keep things organized. In that way, hopefully things will become more clear. In the Shachar V'Tarya, everything's really, jumbled together. It's a little hard to keep track of everything. Just to note right off the bat that I didn't assign these makoros, but just to point out that although the sugya itself seems to be limited to achila, again, the only time there's a specific inui reference, it's the inui of achila. If you see the braisa, four lines down, when it says, "Ezo chinuch hayaragel le'echol b'shtei shos," so although achila is the only inui which is referenced in the Gemara itself, the Tur and the Ramah in Tuf Reish Tes Zayin Sif Beis, again Simon Tuf Reish Tes Zayin Sif Beis, both the Tur and the Ramah basically passing that the mitzvah of chinuch in regards to Yom Kippur extends to all the inuyim which are shayach. So again, not only achil and shtia, but also sicha and rechitza, and I would assume ne'ilas sandal as well. And the gra on the spot there points out that, what's the makor for the Torah and the Ramah? From where do they get that the Suya extends to all the Inuyim? And he says, look, if you look at the Lashon of the Mishnah, it doesn't say anything about Achila. It says, Hatinokos in Ma'anin Oso B'Yom Kippur. Right? It uses the general Lashon of the Inuy, and from there we learn that the really it refers to all the Inuyim, which are Shayach to Katanim. It really refers to everything except for Hashem Mishnah Mikta.
Have you had someone who's a whole lab, and they were only able to do some of the stuff, and they could do all of it, would they do what they could, or they wouldn't have to do anything?
You saying if they can't do it a full day, or
like, if it was they couldn't let it bounce, but they could obviously wear they could wear not wear leather shoes or not wash.
Interesting. I would assume so. That's a good question. I would assume that whatever is applicable would apply. I assume so. That's good.
But if it says chol, it starts at one age, and then baris makes a difference. Then.
Yeah, so again, chola here is not like sick, it's just a little weaker, and therefore it can't pull off a full fast. Just important, I was going to mention, actually the Mishnah Berurah there on the spot points out that the whole notion of chinuch l'shos, of dividing the day, in terms of hours, that only applies to achil and shtia. Because only achil and shtia, you can say, a kid can fast, X amount of hours, but not the full day, but when it comes to the shari nuyim,
whole day,
that refers to the entire day. That's just a side point. Okay, so now let's again focus on each category on its own to try to keep everything organized. So first we're going to focus on the stage, and we'll start oldest to youngest, the Hashlama D'Oraisa. And trying to focus on when does the Chiyuv D'Oraisa kick in. Before we do that, we have to just try to read the Shachar V'Tarya very carefully at the moment with an eye towards this issue of when Hashlama D'Oraisa kicks in. So Aaron, would you mind reading for us? So start from the Gemara. Actually, no. Start from Mishnah.
Yeah. Goes Ein Ma'anin Osam Miyom HaKippurim. So we don't force children to have Yom HaKippurim. Aba on Yom Kippur, Aba Mechankin Osam Lifnei Shana Lifnei Shnatayim Mishvil Shiyu Regilim B'Mitzvos. We do teach them, or we are Mechanik them either 2 years before or 3 years before. At least, so according to Rashi.
Exactly.
So that they will be accustomed to doing mitzvahs.
And we'll see this lashon, a mechanchen son, is understood by most Rishonim as referring to the chinuch l'shalos. So it's very important, we'll get back to this later, the Mishnah only seems to reference chinuch shalos and does not seem to reference hashlama d'rabbanan. We'll get back to that. Okay, so now the Gemara, comments?
So, hashda b'ifnei shtayim mechanchen lehu b'ifnei shlosha mibaya.
Neishan.
Bitnei Shana Mivaya, right? So now that you've told us that we're going to start doing chinuch, either meaning readers before, according to Rashi, so do you have to tell us that we're going to start doing chinuch 2 years before? So meaning, seemingly, once you start, you're going to continue doing whatever you're doing. So why would you have to tell us you have to do it on an early, on a date closer to when he's bar about, he or she is bar about mitzvah? Have you already told us that we're going to do it on a early, on when he's younger? Right, so Rav Chisda says it's not a problem because we're actually talking about two separate people. We're talking about a chola who is someone who's good, who is bad at fasting, and a bari is someone who's good at fasting. So the person who's bad at fasting is going to start later in their life, and the person who's good at fasting is going to start earlier.
Excellent. So yeah, before you start Ravuna, just remember, right now, our focus is on the Hashlama D'Oraisa. So let's just keep track of that. Amar Ravuna,
Ben Ches uben Tes Mechan Kino Sano Lasho. So Ravuna says that when he's talking about a Tinoges. So when a girl is 8 or 9, we start teaching her to do chinuch shows, depending on whether she's a bari or a chole. Ben yud aleph mashlimim midrabanan. When she is either 10 or 11, we start doing hashlamim midrabanan. Ben yud beis mashlimim diyoraisa b'tinokes. And when she is 12, we do hashlamim diyoraisa for a tinokes.
Yeah. So just focusing right now on the hashlamim diyoraisa. So again, according to this girsa, the girsa of Rashi, right? The Hashlama D'Oraisa starts at age 12 for a tinoges, which again sounds very classic. That's a classic little bat mitzvah age. And before we go on, just want to mention, you know, just aside, the whole concept of ages gets very confusing. It's like, how do you refer to a certain age? So for the purposes of our discussion, we're going to refer to ages like normally do. You know that until someone turns 1, there's zero, which basically means that you refer to years past, that when you after you have a year of life, you turn 1. After 2 years of life, you turn 2. The confusion is that sometimes Rishonim, you know, have a different numerical system where they don't refer to, you know, years past, but what year you're into. So like the first year of life, they refer to as year 1. And then when they, after 1 year, they start their second year, that's year 2. So the confusion between different Rishonim is, are you referring to years past? Or are you referring to which year you are into now? Which is, someone pointed out to me nicely, even within our numerical systems, the difference between our ages, we refer to years past, and we refer to centuries, we refer to, you know, what century you're into. You know, 21st century. Okay, just to give an example, even nowadays we refer to it in different ways. But for our purposes, we're going to do with our classical ages. So, and that's what the Gemara is dealing with right now. So far, Rav Huna, according to our Girsa, very clear, Hashlama D'Oraisa started at age 12 for a tinokes. That's the way we would assume. Okay. Comes along with Nachman.
Rav Nachman Amar Ben Tes, Ben Yud, Mechan Kinosan, Lishos, Ben Yud, Aleph, Ben Yud, Bez, Mashlim, Midrabanan, Ben Yud, Gimel, Mashlim, Midrabanan, Ben Yud, Gimel, Mashlim. So according to the way Rashi learns, Rav Nachman is just agreeing with Rav Huna. He's just explaining the same thing would be true for a tinok, except for a boy, except 1 year later for everything.
Exactly. So we'll stop there for now. So we're going to see within the topic, the category of Hashlama D'Oraisa, we're going to see two different approaches. So the first approach, which would be the classical approach, is that the Chi of D'Oraisa for a Nekeva starts at age 12, and the Chi of D'Oraisa for a Zachar starts at age 13. So this is the way we paskin, and this is aligns with the Manda Amar in Nida Dab Memdalad Amen Beis that Toch Zman is Kilif Nezman. Right, the Gemara there is Machlokes. We'll get to this in a moment about what happens. Let's just for let's say in a Akiva, just for argument's sake, where she's right. She hasn't yet turned 12, but she's 11. She sees Siman. Right, the background is generally godless. You need two to nine for godless. You need Shanim and Siman. So the question the Gemara is discussing there is that basically, is there a certain flexibility to Shana? Is there a hard cap, hard requirement that in Nekeva a girl needs to be 12 and a male and a boy needs to be 13? Or is there some certain flexibility that really, if they have their Simanim a little bit early within a year early, that the godless starts there? So the way we paskin and the first approach we're going to discuss is that it's Toch Zman is Kilif Nezman, that it's, you know, it's a hard requirement. A boy is only attains chiyuvei d'oraisa, only becomes a gadol when he turns 13, and an akeva only becomes a gedola when she turns 12. So that's Rashi, as you pointed out. Rashi clearly takes this approach because he explains that the difference between Rav Huna and Rav Nachman, right? Rav Huna says Hashlama Daraisa starts at 12, and Rav Nachman says it starts at 13. So instead of saying there's a machokis, he says no, they both agree. The only difference is Tinok versus Tinokis. Like the Girsa, because it is the Girsa of Rashi, like our Girsa, that the only is Rav Nachman and Funa are not arguing, they're just talking, the only difference is whether they're talking about boys or girls.
Yeah. And after a boy turns 13, if he doesn't see Simanim, then technically he's not bar mitzvah. So basically the machokas is whether the 13th year is means into the 13th year or whether it means after 13 years. Because it said, like, the really an argument of whether the cutoff point is 12 years, is after 12 years, after 13 years.
I guess
the argument about when they said, you know, when they talked about the 13th year, did they talk about that as into the 13th year, or did they talk about that as after 13
years? Yeah. Fine. All right, so Rashi and our Girsa clearly accepts this approach, and that is very easy. Again, our Girsa also differentiates between Rav Huna and Rav Nachman based on Tinok versus Tinokin. So that's very understandable. And then, if you turn to the Riff, it'll be very important to understand the subtle differences between the Riff and Rashi / our Girsa. So right now we're going to deal with the Riff's version of Rav Yochanan. So we look at the Riff's version of Rav Yochanan. Again, Riff also explains Rav Yochanan as aligning with the Shita, that, again, a girl is 12 and a boy is 13. Anyone have the Riff open and want to read? Tani, do you have the Riff open? Starting with Rav Yochanan Amar. Give the old one. Yes, the Gimel and Aleph. I have two lines up.
Can we leave the door right?
Whatever. Do you guys think that door is, the breeze is better?
Yeah.
I think the thing
is
that's right now.
That's
just where the temperature is.
Yeah.
64.
Okay. Yeah, so without further ado. Stop there. Right? So within Rav Yochanan, even the Riff agrees to this first approach. That again, right, the Toch Zman. Is a lifnei zman, that a tinokes is only going to become gadola at 12, and a gadol is going to become a gadol at 13. But the important, and we'll read it in a moment, it's going to be an important contrast to see the Riff's version of Rav Huna and Rav Nachman. But for now, it's very important. So, and both Rashi and the Riff, B'shem Rav Yochanan, hold of this idea that it's toch zman is kilifnei zman, you only become a gadol at 13 and a gadola at 12. Fine. The second approach is that it's going to align. The other manda amar in Nida Mendalad on the base, which says Toch Zman is Kil Achar Zman, that if an Akeba sees Simanim even after turning 11, she becomes a Gedola, and a Zachar who sees Simanim after turning 12 becomes a Gadol. So there you have the person who accepts the Shita, which accepts this position, is the Riff B'Shem Rav Huna and Rav Nachman. So Tani, if you go back to Rav Huna and Rav Nachman, you'll see, and in stark contrast to the Riff's, you know, formulation of Rav Yochanan, where he distinguishes between Tinok and Tinokes, between 12 and 13, when it comes to Rav Huna and Rav Nachman, he does not do that. So you go for Amar Rav Huna.
Amar Rav Huna, then Shmona ben Tisha, the confidence of the shows. Then
we'll get back to those. You know, the important part is now. So he says blanket statements, and we'll see in the Rav Nachman the same thing. Again, we'll skip three lines. Also, the same thing. So right in contrast to Rav Yochanan, the Riff B'Shem Rav Yochanan, where he distinguishes between Tinok and Tinokas between 12 and 13, here within Rav Huna and Rav Nachman, he says across the board it's 12 for everybody. Right, and seeing the way both the Ran and the Tosafot Rush explain is that the Riff is referring to Zacharim here, and the Chiddush is that a Zachar who's 12 can also be a Gadol, provided that he sees Siman. Right, and it's important the Tosafot Rush just explicates a little more clearly, and he says even though you could have said maybe the Riff, right, is just speaking about Nekevos here, and that's why he says 12. You could have said that theoretically. Again, the contrast to Rav Yochanan already is telling. But what really seals the deal is that after the Rif presents Rav Yochanan, he explicitly paskins like Rav Yochanan against Rav Nachman and Rav Huna in regards to the shear for Hashlama Doraisa. If you go for that, Tani, see Amud Beis, three lines down, Alpha Gav. We'll stop there. And he's going to get to Hashlama Drabana next. So again, we'll get to that next. But again, Tulsa Rush makes a deal, because why had you see it also, is that that's clear. You know, he's clearly saying that, in regards to the topic of Hashlama Daraisa, we paskin like Rav Yochanan against Rav Huna and Rav Nachman. So it's clear from there that the Rif himself presents a machlokes between Rav Yochanan on the one hand and Rav Huna and Rav Nachman on the other hand in terms of the shear for Hashlama Daraisa. That in contrast to Rav Yochanan, who holds that Toch Zman is Kilifnei Zman, it says a girl needs to be 12 and a boy needs to be 13. But when he says 12 for Rav Nachman and Rav Huna, he wasn't just talking about a tinokes and using shorthand. No, he's referring to a tinok, and yet 12 is the shear of godless, provided that he has siman. Fine. So there you have the important machokes. But there you have the machokes. Again, Rashi and Rif b'shem Rav Yochanan versus Rif b'shem Rav Nachman and Rav Huna. Before we go on, it's important to note the two important kashas that the Tosa Rush asks on this shita of the Rif. And he basically asks the following two questions, which can hopefully present an important yisod. Tosa Rush basically asks two questions. Number one, he asks, is that, if you think about it, even the manda amar of Toch Zman k'la'achar Zman, right? Even the manda amar that, let's say, for a zachar, that if you turn 12, that you can be a gadol, provided that you have simanim, it's only if you have simanim. So our sugya is all about, counting backwards. Right? You count, let's say, for example, let's say Hashlama Derabanan, for example.
You know.
Exactly. So kasha is, if you're all counting backwards, so if you hold that it's always going to be 13, right? Shanim is always 13, so again, you can count backwards. But if you can only start at 12, provided that the tinok shows simanim, so how can you start counting from 12 to start counting backwards for Hashlama Derabanan and Chinuch Lashonos? We don't yet know if this tinok is going to present simanim before his 13th birthday.
But for 13, you also need simanim.
What?
But for 13, you also need simanim. Whatever we ask about 12, we can ask about 13, can't we?
Why would
that's,
he
but I think there is there's a certain chazakah that he's going to show Siman.
Well, we assume we get them at 12. That's a rarity.
It's abnormal. I would say it's abnormal to show before 13. So I guess there's a chazakah that he's going to show. That's really... There's a chazakah, I would say that there's a chazakah that he's going to show Simanim by 13. And therefore, that's a fair assumption. But it's out of the ordinary to show Simanim early. And therefore, why would you assume, even according to that Manda Amar, which says that, if he shows Simanim early, the godless will come in early. Again, that's out of the ordinary. Why would you be choshesh for that happening? That's the first question of the... Just hold off. So the first question of Tosar Rosh is that even if you hold like that shita, again, how can you start counting from that time, again, if you don't know that he's going to show simanim early? And the second question that Tosar Rosh asks is, why b'chol Torah kula do we never find anybody quoting the shita? Right, when you discuss all other versions of chinuch, or any other, mitzvos and talking about godless, we always paskin like the day which says you need to, that a tinok needs to be 13, and that a tinokes needs to be 12. So why all of a sudden by Yom Kippur do we find the Rif having certain amoraim adopting this unique shita of Toch Zman being Kala Achar Zman? So it's on the basis of these two questions that Tosar Rosh says, sorry, Rif, you must be wrong, and I'm going to paskin, I hold like Rashi's gear, so...
Even though he has questions
on
Rashi.
Even though he has questions on Rashi, these two questions... Or he's more bothered by and says, because of this, I adopt Rashi's Girsa, and it must be that according to all of the various Shitos in the Amarayim, all the Shitos of the Amarayim hold that a Tinok is 13, and for Tinokes, it is 12. So again, I'm just going to maybe answer these questions, and then I'll take any questions that you guys have.
I don't
have.
Care
for
any questions.
Okay, question. So then...
Why would you count from even if he shows early, why are you counting? Why would you count from that year?
I mean, the point of the sheathing, according to the Riv, Rav Huna and Rav Nachman, let's say according to Rav Nachman, there's only 1 year of Hashlamah Zirabanan. We'll get to this next. So, according to Rav Nachman, the Hashlamah Zirabanan starts at 11.
You mean for a Tino guest?
For a Tino. Oh, even okay. For a Tino. Oh, okay. It starts at 11, because at 12, he might become a Gadol. But he might become a Gadol at 12, but that's only if the abnormal case arises where he exhibits the simanim early, after his 12th birthday, but before his 13th birthday. So the question is, even if you hold of the Shita, that he can become a Gadol at 12, that's still provided that the abnormal situation takes place, that he has simanim before his 13th birthday. So the question is, why would you start Hashlamah D'Rabbanan at 11, and Chinuch L'Shalos at 9, assuming that he's going to start showing simanim after his 12th birthday, before his 13th birthday? So in short, the first question is, why, even if you accept the psak,
how do you know?
Exactly. Even if you accept the psak that he can become a gadol at 12 if he has simanim then, but how do you know? I mean, why are you choshish that that's going to take place such that you're going to start counting backwards for the dinim of Hashlamah D'Rabbanan at the dinim of Chinuch L'Shalos, assuming that that's going to be the case?
Is he asking, like, if there are signs that he would do it earlier?
I mean, let's say it's at 9. The kid turns 9.
Yeah.
It's clearly no simanim at this point. So we say, according to Rav Nachman, start Chinuch L'Shalos now, even for a tinok. Because in 3 years, he might become a gadol. We're saying, what do you mean? He might become a gadol, but he very well might not become a gadol until he turns 13. Until he.
Oh, I missed that. It is from the 12 that they're starting.
Yeah, exactly. It's,
where, who said that?
That's what we're reading.
Oh, okay.
That within Rav Huna and Rav Nachman, it's age 12 is Hashlamah D'Oraisa.
Oh.
And we're counting. Everything else is counting backwards from age 12.
That case happened to be a case where it was.
But the problem is that all the other numbers, the timing of Chinuch L'Shalos and Hashlamah D'Rabbanan, are counting backwards, assuming that 12 is going to be the case.
Oh,
but
okay,
the question
fine.
Is, we don't know that when at 9. One more time? Or?
No. Well, what's. First. Is the purpose of Hashlamah D'Rabbanan to be a Safek if he has been Saros?
Hashlamah D'Rabbanan? No. Hashlamah D'Rabbanan is a form of Chinuch.
So
that a year before, a year or two before he becomes a Gadol. No, but if you hold that there's only 1 year of Hashlamah D'Rabbanan,
yeah,
to like Rav Nachman,
yeah,
there's only 1 year. So why would you necessarily start that year when it could very well be that he's not going to be a gadol in a year? Why would you start that count at year 11, when he turns 11? If we'll say the majority of the cases he's not going to become a gadol until 13.
Well, maybe they just do not your Hashlamah.
Okay, but if that's. What do you mean that's the whole thing?
Start doing it now, even though you're not.
No, but we're going to see. Whatever your shita is, in terms of, let's say, Chinuch L'Shalos or Hashlamah, meaning that should count based on the time we assume you're going to become a gadol, because we're counting backwards. Right, we'll get to it. The Rif B'Shem Rav Nachman holds that there should only be 1 year of Hashlamah D'Rabbanan. Kein D'Oraisa Tikun. So therefore, why would you start that at 11? You're going to say, oh, so you do a second year. But his whole sheet does that you should only have 1 year of Hashlamah D'Rabbanan.
Because if you don't, you won't have a Hashlamah.
Okay, but it's still, meaning why, it's still, why are you, I mean, if you're so stark about having only 1 year of Hashlamah D'Rabbanan, why would you start it at 11 when it could very well be that you're putting yourself in a situation where you're going to end up having to come to 2? That's the question that Tosafot asks.
Is Rav Yochanan identical in both Rif and
who?
Rav Yochanan?
Is Rav Yochanan, I think so. Yeah, I think so. Okay, so those are the questions. Again, two questions again. Number one, why you assume he's going to become gadol early, even if he could be. You don't know that he's going to be the case, so why are you assuming that? And question number two is, why do you only find this psak of being able to become a gadol early only in the context of Yom Kippur?
Where do we see that the reason why they only want 1 year is because they see the rest of it?
That's the wrong. We'll get to that.
It's because of what?
We'll get to it. Right now we're focusing on Shlomo D'Oraisa. So those are the two questions that the Tosa Rosh asks on the Rif, and therefore rejects the Rif. So I'd like to suggest a possible explanation for the Rif, and say that perhaps the answer to both these questions is to say that the chinuch of Yom Kippur is unique and different than the chinuch for all other mitzvahs. And perhaps because Yom Kippur is really a linchpin mitzvah, you know, throughout the year, it's really the mitzvah, the day which defines our relationship with God. So therefore, perhaps the mitzvahs of chinuch in regards to Yom Kippur are more chamor than the mitzvahs of chinuch associated with other mitzvahs. And therefore, perhaps we can answer both questions. So starting with the second question. The second question was, you know, why do you specifically find this by Yom Kippur? And you never find this by any other mitzvah of chinuch. So now we're suggesting, perhaps the mitzvah of chinuch by Yom Kippur is unique because of the unique role that Yom Kippur plays in our relationship.
So therefore we pass like a wereshita?
And what?
Therefore we would pass like a wereshita?
Perhaps it would be machmir for that shita specifically in the realm of Yom Kippur.
Which shita?
That you come a gadol earlier.
Okay.
And then, in terms of the first question of, you know, why, I mean, who says he's become a gadol there? I mean, again, he can become a gadol at 12, but who says he's going to be? But again,
we assume you are.
Exactly. Once we assume that the mitzvah of chinuch in regards to Yom Kippur is more chamor, you know, it takes on a greater added level of chomer because of the added level of chomer associated with Yom Kippur, perhaps Rubi Choshesh. Yeah, you don't know. In most cases, he won't be. But because of the chomer of Yom Kippur and therefore the chomer of the chinuch of Yom Kippur, therefore we're going to be Choshesh in a situation where ordinarily we wouldn't be Choshesh. And therefore, even though we don't know for sure that he's going to become a gadol at 12, we're going to start the counts in the most chamor fashion to start everything as early as possible just to make sure, because the mitzvah of chinuch of Yom Kippur is more chamor in general. Yeah.
Shalek?
As I was trying to explain, is because of the role that Yom Kippur plays. But because Yom Kippur is really the linchpin of our relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, and therefore again, if chinuch is about, you know, bringing a child into, you know, the klal mitzvahs and the relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, therefore I think it makes sense to say that the chinuch of Yom Kippur would take on an added level of stringency.
Let's say he gets 12 years old, and he doesn't get here. He doesn't get Beis Aharos.
Yes. You'd,
so what do we do now?
Yes, you'd have to, I'm assuming you're going to continue a Shlomo D'Rabbanan. Even though the idea was Kein D'Oraisa, I guess you're going to have to say, because of the Chumrah, meaning as long as at the time that you did it,
you had the right
intention. It was the intention of doing it one, so therefore that's the ultimate plan.
That usually kind of, or so, you know, almost applies to everybody in a way.
What do you mean applies to everyone?
Meaning, the sukkah could apply to people even who don't necessarily have 2 Saras early.
Well, meaning in terms of the starting the count early, yes. That's true. Only that's limited to the person who has the Shtei Saras is
the schedule will be the same.
Yeah, exactly. The schedule is the same. That's what we were saying before, as the Tosafot Rashi is bothered by. And how can you have a schedule for everybody if not everybody's going to get the Shtei Saras early? Now we're suggesting, because of the Chomer...
It's kind of what I was saying before, in a way, that you just do two years for Shlomo.
Yeah. 100%.
If it's so chomer, how come no one actually does that early, do they?
No, I mean, again, we don't pass in this way. But that was the position. Again, even the Rif doesn't pass that way.
Okay.
So we're trying to explain the Rif, B'Shem, Rifuna, and Rav Nachman. Okay. Even the Rif doesn't pass in the Gravil from in terms of this. Yeah.
So this is our only applies for Zayn. It's not just as far up, you could be Nachman, right?
We're saying that, exactly. Again, it would be interesting if you find other Chumras, but just... trying to, you know, pick up, you know, any tendencies or any, you know, any themes, but definitely within the realm of Yom Kippur, and we'll see another chumrah in terms of chinuch l'shalos. I think we discussed this the other day in Yomim last night. But also the whole notion of chinuch l'shalos is also mechudesh, is also a rule breaker. We'll get to that in a moment. Okay, so ad kan, that was our discussion of the category of Ashlama D'Oraisa. Again, two different approaches. Is Ashlama D'Oraisa 13 and 12 for boys and girls respectively, or no, is it even earlier? Let me point that out. Surah Mahalach, based on the Rif Shita, that the Chinuch of Yom Kippur is unique. So now, moving on to Ashlama D'Rabbanan. So going back to the Gemara, to go back to Pei Beis, this is where I think we stopped before Rav Yochanan. Yeah, we finished by All right, so basically, Rav Huna and Rav Nachman that we read before, basically hold there are two stages of chinuch. There's a stage of chinuch l'shalos, and there's a stage of Hashlama D'Rabbanan. Right? Chinuch l'shalos is a partial fasting, and then Hashlama D'Rabbanan is a full fasting. And then Rav Yochanan comes along and we're going to see rejects the whole notion of Hashlama D'Rabbanan. Can I go for it? Rav Yochanan Amar.
Oh,
Aaron, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Rav Yochanan Amar Hashlamah D'Rabbanan Leikas. Rav Yochanan says there's no such thing as Hashlamah D'Rabbanan. Rather, Ben Yud Aleph Nechan Kinoso L'Shos. Ben Yud Beis Mashlimin Midyo Raisa. So rather, he says that when the girl is 10 or 11, depending on whether she's a Bari or a Chola, we're going to have her do it for shows, and then we immediately go jump into Hashlamah D'Rabbanan.
Exactly. So, first, like, just, you know, see if any other, you know, in terms of the way different Rishon and Paskin in terms of this issue, and then we're going to, you know, try to develop exactly what is the basis of the Shita to reject Hashlamah Midrabanan. So the first Shita, obviously, we just read, first person who rejects, you know, the notion of Hashlamah Midrabanan is Rav Yochanan, as we just saw. And then, you also find the Re, quoted in Tosos Ksubas, Nun Abraham. Right? So anybody have the Gemara there? Yeah, you have the Gemara? So we just read the relevant line of the Gemara there. So the advice of things that
Yeah, I'm not sure what I'm
going. Which Gemara?
The Gemara in Ksuba Staff Nun.
Yeah, this is Bart's place, so the Tanisa, Mesleis, Vitinokis, Bas Tresar.
Ah, so which literally means that for a girl, she starts, Mesleis just means 24 hour fast.
Oh.
So basically, girls start their 20, basically starts full fast at age 12, and boys start full fast at age 13. So as we pointed out before, whenever you have a number, you don't necessarily know what that means. So that opens the door for machlokas between Rashi and Tosas in terms of when it says 12, when it says 13, what does that mean? 12 years have passed, 13 years have passed, or are you into the 12th year, into the 13th year?
If it means how we do it, then there's no chinuch.
Exactly.
Yeah, how
exactly.
Could that be?
Oh, that's exactly our Shita. So the Re in Tosas says that 13 means 13 in a day, the way we call it, and 12 means 12 in a day. So this is referring to the Chi of Daraisa, when she becomes a Gedola, when he becomes a Gadol. So what's the Chiddush of the Gemara? Of course, when you're a Gadol and a Gedola, you have to fast. So what's the Chiddush of the Gemara according to the Re?
Maybe that's not earlier.
You don't have what earlier?
Daraisa, maybe it's the other Shita.
Really, the Re focuses on Hashlamah D'Rabbanan. The Re is saying, oh, you see that this Gemara is passing like Rav Yochanan, that we reject Hashlamah D'Rabbanan, that because the first time you start a Tainus, the Eis La'Eis, a full Tainus, is when you're a Gadol or when you're a Gedola, but you don't find Hashlamah D'Rabbanan earlier. So again, here you have in the Rishonim, the Re and the Bali Tosos passing like Rav Yochanan. Fine. And then in terms of, you know, in terms of Psak, the Ramah quotes this as a Yesh Omrim. It says there
as a Yesh
Omrim. As those who say, meaning in, like in the Rama and Shulchan Aruch, sometimes they'll have there are those who say, versus like the Stam. So generally, Yesh Omrim is like the Ashitas Yachid is more of
it's a
minority.
Popular, but rejected opinion.
Yeah, not necessarily popular, but okay. A rejected opinion
it's
worth
extant.
Exactly. It exists on the books, worth noting,
right.
But not the way we generally pass it. And you'll see the reason why they quote it is for something like this. What the Rama says, there are those who reject Hashlamah D'Rabbanan. We don't pass it like that, but we can rely on those Shitos for those Ketanim and Ketanos who are weaker. So again, that's why you have, sometimes it's not the normative Psak, but you can rely on that in certain situations. So the Rama basically quotes the Shita of Rav Yochanan and the Shita of the Re as a Yesh Omrim, and says we can rely on it, you know, for weaker children. Have we just, you know, Lamaisa, the Mishnah Berurah on the spot. Sorry, this is spot. Yeah, sorry, this is all same simon. This is tough. Reish Tez Zayin, Sif Beis. That's where the Rama is, and the Mishnah Berurah there, Sif Katan Tes, says that, you know, Lamaisa nowadays Minastam, we assume that all children are weak, and therefore Minastam we will not apply Hashlamah D'Rabbanan. The only time we apply it if you are sure that the kid at hand is strong enough to do it.
Who said this?
Mishnah Berurah. So Mishnah Berurah says, you know, Minastam, we're going to rely on this psak that there's no Hashlamah D'Rabbanan unless you are sure that the particular katan is strong enough to pull off the fast. Fine. So
what does that mean, strong? Like,
can handle the fast. We're not worried about getting sick.
Nowadays, most people do not do Hashlamah.
That's according to Mishnah Berurah. You have to find out how we passing exactly. If you're confident that your kid can do it, then it's fine. You have to see what the parameters of that is. So here we have the different question.
Yeah, what is that Gemara hold about Shabbos?
It's not talking about Shabbos.
Oh.
No one rejects Shabbos.
Well, when would they say it is?
So that like Rav Yochanan.
Okay.
Like Rav Yochanan.
Do we do Shabbos on
Yeah. Well, we'll get to that. Categories. This is focus. So, just try to keep everything organized by focusing on each topic on its own. So here we have Rabbi Yochanan, the Ri, the Yeshomrim, and the Ramah, the Mishneh Berurah, on that basis, basically all rejecting Hashlamim D'Rabbanan. The question we have to ask on the Shita is, why would you reject Hashlamim D'Rabbanan? I mean, the background is that, we'll get to this a little later, probably tomorrow, is that generally, Chinuch, as we saw, I don't know if we saw this yet, but you'll see tomorrow, that generally the rule of thumb by Chinuch is that the mitzvah of Chinuch only applies when the katan can perform the mitzvah of Bishlei Musa. Like we say, that only when a katan is able to shake the lulav properly, then the mitzvah of Chinuch applies. So, what's the mitzvah of Bishlei Musa when it comes to fasting? A partial fast or a full fast?
A full fast.
Full fast. Literally, Bishlei Musa. So it's strange, of the two, if you were to guess, you know, Chinuch L'Shalos versus Hashlamim D'Rabbanan, the one you would assume, which is controversial, which is subject to a machlokes, you would assume is the Chinuch L'Shalos one. Because Hashlamim D'Rabbanan is the one which seems to be the classical form of Chinuch, which is the Mitzvah Bishlei Musa. But yet you find that these Shitos reject the notion of Hashlamim D'Rabbanan. So the question you have to ask is, why, if Hashlamim D'Rabbanan is the version of Chinuch, which seems to resemble the classical version of Chinuch, B'chol Torah Kula, so why do you find these Shitos, starting with Rabbi Yochanan, rejecting the notion of Hashlamim
D'Rabbanan? Version of Chinuch?
Yeah, so that's in all other mitzvahs. If you look at the Rambams we saw yesterday, if you look at all those examples, the next list, the Marmakomas, the Gemara and Sukkah. Well, you know, it's when it comes to Lulav, we say, whenever you can, only you start Chinuch when you can properly shake the Lulav. And that's even a Chiddush, because that's not even Mikra
Adin. Oh, I spoke that.
Like those types
that's
of
things.
It's only Jerabbanan. It's a bigger Chiddush. Or only when you properly be Misate, Petzitzis, and all these different things. So generally, only when you can do the mitzvah Bishlei Musa.
Right.
But yet here, it's specifically the mitzvah Bishlei Musa, which is the one that is rejected by a certain mefarshim, such as.
Are there any other? Did any of the examples that we looked at from the Rambam have to do with mitzvot that are not like that? Is that are more easily divisible? Right. So fasting is a 25-hour day. Right?
I mean, time.
Right, time-wise, right? It's like putting on tzitzit. Right? They're sort of either on or off, right? What was another one? Tefillin, yeah. Same with tefillin.
Yeah, but I'm saying Shlei Musa can take different forms. In a time-bound issue like here, yeah, divisibility is based on timing.
Right.
But
what would Shavuos, what would the equivalent be in tefillin?
I'll give you an example, by lulav. Meikar Adin, your Yotze, the mitzvah lulav, mida agba matik. Once you pick it up. So it's an added din d'rabbanan that you should also shake it around in different ways. So I would say, the parallel of a partial mitzvah is, okay, see, he can't do the shaking, but do the basic version.
But that's the chinuch d'rabbanan, that's, though, is...
If anything, less partial even than this.
The qualified, except that the mitzvah d'oraisa is being fulfilled by the punitive chinuch, right?
I'll take away the word punitive.
What?
I'll take away the word punitive, but
you said you're putative, not punitive.
Correct,
no,
okay.
The punitive chinuch. In other words, the mitzvah d'oraisa for fasting on Yom Kippur is a full fast.
Okay.
The chinuch d'rabbanan is a partial fast.
So I would think that's less bishlei musa than when you pick up the lulav and you're actually mekayim the mitzvah of bishlei musa.
Naturally.
Similarly.
Except that in the case of picking up the lulav, you're not actually educating. In other words, there's no, the thing toward which the chinuch is being directed. The chinuch was being directed because really the chinuch for the kid is actually the fulfillment of the mitzvah d'oraisa. The thing toward which the chinuch is being directed is the mitzvah d'rabbana.
What's the mitzvah d'rabbana?
The whole shaking of the lulav, right?
But
which
yet,
is not d'oraisa.
But yet that's ma'akev.
What?
Yet the chinuch doesn't apply until he could do that part.
So what's it chinuch for?
That's what I'm saying. There, it shows that even if the katan could do the mitzvah d'araisa,
yeah,
as long as he can't do the mitzvah in its fullest form, including all the derabanans, he doesn't do the mitzvah at all.
Not even chinuch.
Not at all, yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
So I'm saying from there...
Okay, that seems like a different kettle of fish altogether. I'm just... Okay.
So I'm just saying, right, once you see from there that generally chinuch only applies when the katan is able to do the mitzvah in its fullest form, mm-hmm, so you would assume, again, we're going to ask this question on the whole institution of chinuch l'shalos, because why is there even such a concept? That's clearly not shleimusa. But the flip side of that question is, back to here, the one thing which is shleimusa is hashlama d'rabbanan. So if anything, you would think that everyone would agree to the Hashlama D'Rabbanan. But yet, you find there's a group, starting with Rabbi Yochanan, who reject Hashlama D'Rabbanan. The question is what? That's what I'm trying to ask. So I'd like to suggest that it could be that, in contrast to the other mitzvahs of Chinuch, let's say Lulav and Tefillin, which are basically physical mitzvahs. It's a Maisa mitzvah. As long as you can physically... the katan is capable of performing the ma'isa mitzvah, he is shayach to the mitzvah. But when it comes to Yom Kippur, the tzom of Yom Kippur, as we've already developed in the first year, the tzom of Yom Kippur is not just about physically fasting. It's about the refrain from fasting and how that contributes to the positive kiyum of the inisim es nafsho secha. So it's possible to suggest...
So what is that again?
Literally, it's a certain affliction.
You fast for part of the day.
Oh, just hold on. Right? So you have... Right, so there's a concept of v'inisim es nafsho sechem, which literally means there's a din of inui, affliction. Again, it will develop later in terms of, is that referring to tsar, or is that referring to a certain mindset? But either way, the point is that... And therefore, it could be that the reason why... you have Rav Yochanan and the Ri, etc., who are saying you don't have Shlomo D'Rabbanan, is because even if the Katan can seemingly perform the fast, he cannot accomplish the real goal of the fast, which is V'inisim Es Nafsho Sechem. We'll explain that in a moment. And therefore, according to Rav Yochanan, there's no concept of Hashlama D'Rabbanan at all, because a Katan can't tap into the full meaning of the fast of Yom Kippur. And we'll get to why he agrees to chinuch l'shalos. Oh, so we're going to see it. The big difference is that there's a difference between an external factor and an internal factor. Meaning that the mitzvah of lulav is to do the ma'isa. Again, there are many kavanos which could accompany you, but mitzvah zeinu tzrichos kavana. Right, and generally, the mitzvah, it's the gather of the mitzvah is the ma'isa. And as long as you do the ma'isa, you do the ma'isa. But here, part of the mitzvah itself, as we'll explain in just moments, is not just refraining from fasting, but part of the mitzvah itself, the kiyum itself is not a ma'isa, or in this case, a refrain, but it's the positive kiyum of the inisim es nafsho sechem.
That's a physical kiyum.
No.
Serious. I feel hungry, that's what it is.
But that's not what we're about to explain. That's not what it is.
You would think that the full fast, that would be a much better education for any smith, not just
Okay, so just a little patience. Just let me finish. I haven't yet explained why. What is the gather of Vinisa Snapshot Sechem such that? What's the definition of Vinisa Snapshot Sechem such that a katan is mufka?
Why would it make a difference anyway? I mean, the whole point is I'm just preparing before he's a god. So I'm saying, you do it, I say, yeah, you don't understand it now.
But the point is, meaning, ironically, the point of chinuch is that, it only applies when the kid could do it bishlei musa. So what we're suggesting now is that a katan, even if, according to Rabbi Yochanan, even when he can physically fast, that's not bishlei musa. Because part of the shlei musa is being... subjects being applicable to the dinisim es nafsho sechem. So in short, it's a good way of saying it, that part of the shleimusa of Yom Kippur is not just the physical fasting, but it's the kiyum of the dinisim es nafsho sechem, of the inum. And now, this is not me, the way to explain why a katan is not applicable to the Nisim Nav Shosechem is explained by Achronim in different ways. We'll just come to explore that. So the following Achronim, again, in a different context, they're not talking about the issue of Ashlam D'Rabbanan, I'm borrowing it. They're really talking about why there's no, it's called Isser of Sfiya B'Yadayim. Right, we've been talking about, this is a sidebar, we were talking about before about the issue of Katan Ochal Nevelos, whether the Bezin is in the Tzuvin La'afrishon. So that's a case where the Katan on his own is eating the Nevela, and the question is whether the Gadol has to step in. So the issue of Sfiya B'Yadayim is when the Gadol actively feeds the Nevela, the Isser, to the Gadol. Sorry, to the Katan. So there's a topic in itself, but there's a lot of evidence to say that the Isser of Sfiya B'Yadayim doesn't apply in Yom Kippur. Meaning, there's no problem for Gadol to feed a Katan on Yom Kippur. For a baby, whatever, these Achronim are coming to explain why not. Why doesn't the classical, you know, Isser of Sfiya B'Yadayim apply to Yom Kippur? And they basically explain, we'll see if this is why it carries over to us, they basically explain the reason why Yom Kippur is an exception to Sfiya B'Yadayim is because a katan is totally excluded from the parsha of the Nisim as Nafshal Sechem. And now I'm just borrowing their two explanations of why a katan is mufka from the Nisim as Nafshal Sechem, which they use to explain the lack of Sfiya B'Yadayim, to now carry that over. My suggestion is that those same two reasons will explain that because a katan is mufka, is excluded from the parsha of the Nisim as Nafshal Sechem, that could also explain why these Mefarshim reject Hashlama D'Rabbanan, because again, the mitzvah b'shleimusa of Tzom, of on Yom Kippur, is not just the physical fasting, refraining from eating, but also includes v'nisim snaf shosechem. So once a katan is mufka from that, So that is discussed by Mefarshim. I don't think it's Mefarshim.
Okay, so what Mefarshim saying here?
So I can get you... I mean, these Mefarshim are discussing that issue. I'll tell you in a second. There's more evidence in terms of that issue. I can get to you another time. I don't have it on me at the moment. It should be in Tuf Reish Tes Zayin. It should be in the Siman. That's where they that's where they discuss it. The Shulchan Aruch, they discuss it. And the Mishnah Berurah, they all discuss it there. Oh. So the first explanation of the Hafka of a Katan from V'nisim Nafshal Sechem is offered by the Chachma Shlomo. That's Rav Shlomo Kluger. He's a parish on the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Tuf Reish Yud Alef. So he explains in one line. He says, "A katan who lacks das cannot be subject to v'nisim es nafshal sechem." That's all he says, right? Because a katan lacks das, therefore
A katan lacks das, or a katan who lacks das?
No, because a katan lacks das, therefore, basically, the lack of das doesn't enable him to be part of, doesn't allow
why
him to.
Why does he lack das?
Well, a katan is generally viewed in halacha as lacking the requisite das that we recognize it as das.
Wait, das meaning belief?
No, das as intellect. Yeah, he lacks the necessary intellect. Halacha assumes that a katan doesn't have das. That's just the going assumption. So Chacham Shlomo says, in one line, because he doesn't have das, he can't fulfill the Nisim. So the question you have to ask is, what is the connection? Why is das needed for even Nisim Asnafshu Zechem more than it's needed for any other thing? So it's possible to suggest, and again, we'll get to these issues later in the year, later in the summer, that we pointed out already the first year, that there's different ways to understand the idea of the kiyum, the positive kiyum of inui. Is that an issue of like tsar, physical tsar? So if you take that approach, it doesn't really make so much sense, because why do you need a special level of das to feel the tsar? But the alternative, which we'll hopefully have time to develop at a later point, is that the inui is about the focus on the spiritual theme of the day. And the point is that we refrain from the inuyim, not just as physical refrains, but as a way of, you know, generating a certain mindset that we're on the day of Yom Kippur, we remove ourselves from the focus on physicality, which the inuyim represent, the basic, you know, physical actions, and we have a full focus on spirituality, on the themes of the day. So according to such an explanation, I think you can explain the Chachma Shlomo very nicely. That, of course, a katan who lacks das can't tap into the kiyum of inui once you understand that the kiyum of inui represents a certain perspective, a certain mentality. That's one understanding, the Chachma Shlomo. The second explanation is offered by the Chelkas Yoav in Simen Aleph, I think it's Chuvos, I wasn't able to look this up. But the way I saw it quoted, he says as follows, nothing to do with das, but rather that a katan is mufka, is excluded from the parsha of inui, because a katan isn't shayach to kapara. And inui is all about kapara. So again, you have to ask a question of, meaning, a katan is generally has mitzvah chinuch, even though he doesn't have schar v'onish, he doesn't have a chiyuv. So why does kapara play more of an integral role to inui than the classical chiyuv and schar v'onish plays a role in terms of, you know, in terms of a regular mitzvah, right? Generally, a mitzvah, the reason why you do it is because you have a chiyuv and there's schar v'onish. I get too philosophical in terms of the role of schar v'onish, but there's a chiyuv there, which is associated with certain schar v'onish. Katan's not shayach to any of that, but yet we say there's a mitzvah of chinuch, despite the lack of chiyuv. So same thing here. Okay, a katan isn't shayach to the reason of kapara, so why don't you still say there's an inoy that's the mitzvah of chinuch? So again, the question on the Chalkas Yoa that we have to just explore for a moment is why does the factor of kapara play more of an integral role in the mitzvah of inoy than the classical chiyuv schar va'onesh plays a role in the classical mitzvah? And this is what I was trying to explain earlier to Binyam, in the same type of idea where certain factors are external, like mechayvim, or external like reasons, while other factors are more integral. And we try to like to suggest that again, along like we're saying right now, is that the role of the kapara in inui, it's not just, oh, that's like the reason why we're doing it. It's that the whole purpose of the kiyum of v'yinisim es nafsho seichem is that it's part of the kapara process. And here, whether you take the approach to inui of tsar, or whether you approach it to a certain mentality, the point is, the whole point of those of generating a certain tsar, or generating a certain mentality, is all part of the kapara process. And therefore, if a katan is completely mufka from the kapara process, he is mufka from the issue of inui. So again, whether inui is defined in terms of tsar, which again brings about kapara, or it's about a certain mentality which helps bring about kapara, because the inui is, you know, the whole point of the inui, and it's like internally, is all about generating a certain kapara. Therefore, if a katan is mufka from kapara, he's going to be mufka from inui. So in short, for either of these reasons, either due to the lack of das or due to the lack of kapara, because both of those factors are integral to the very essence of inui, therefore I'd like to suggest, based on those achronim, that's why you find certain mefarshim say that basically there's no concept of ashlama d'rabbanan for chinuch, because a katan isn't shayach to the tzom b'shlei musa, because part of the shlei musa is the inui to which the katan is not shayach. Yeah.
Would that only make sense if we say that the mitzvah is the kapara?
What do you mean?
Because if we say that inui is part of the kapara process, but at the end of the day inui is still mitzvah, then why should we? Then that's the same thing as saying that the reason why we do inui is because of kapara. And
no, it's not independent. It's not like mitzvah is a standalone mitzvah, right? If you do that, you will get schar, right? You will fulfill a chiyuv. But it's a standalone mitzvah. Here, there's no standalone mitzvah of inui. Because we're saying the whole purpose of inui is inui plays a role as part of a larger process of kapara. It's like a stage in the kapara process. And therefore, if you're not shayach, if you're not applicable to the process, you're not going to be applicable to a part of the process. That's what the chalkas go on. You know what I'm saying? Whether it's a standalone or whether it's part of a process. And therefore, if you're part of the process, if you're not shayach to the process, you're not going to be shayach to, you know, a part of the process. Masha Inkein, classical mitzvos, lulav, tefillin, sukkah, shofar, whatever, there's all standalone mitzvahs.
Is that a fancy way of saying anafinami? That there's just a difference between schar v'onish and kapara?
Oh, we're explaining that schar v'onish is just a result. And this is more, again, if that's a fancy way of saying anafinami, fine. I guess I'll put more stock in your anafinami in the future.
So we left there's a question that why this lack of kapara is any different than any other lack of schar v'onish, right?
No, I was just trying to explain
that's
that the kapara is not just it's not just, oh, the reason. Like, oh, the reason why we do that, the reason, yibachiyav, that's why you do the mitzvah of lulav. It's that the inoy is part of a process of kapara. Meaning, inoy, to borrow Aaron's idea,
it is the kapara.
Exactly. Meaning, inoy is not a standalone mitzvah. Inoy is part of the process of kapara. I mean, in order to attain kapara on Yom Kippur, there's an element of tshuva, and there's a lot of other things to do, and part of that process is the inoy of Yom Kippur.
Because a regular mitzvah just gives you...
What?
Because a regular mitzvah, it gets kapara, which inoy is to attempt to actually...
I mean, a regular mitzvah is a standalone mitzvah.
Well, and for that, you'll get kapara onesh.
Exactly.
But this is entirely actually...
Exactly. This is part of the kapara process, and there's a stage in the kapara process. And therefore, if you're not shayach to the process, you're not going to be shayach to the prat.
We still have to ask why other mitzvahs in and of themselves are set aside.
100%. Yeah. Meaning, are standalone. You mean, are standalone?
Why is that?
So yeah, I mean, that's a broader question. This is a unique. I was like, normal mitzvahs are like that. There's a chiyuv. There's a standalone mitzvah. There's a mitzvah of lulav. There's a mitzvah of. This is a unique. I mean, again, in halacha, you have that. There are certain mitzvahs which are standalone, and there are certain mitzvahs which are part of a larger process. Right. You know, there's a mitzvah of zrika. You guys are doing kachim, right? So, there, meaning kachim, a lot of other mitzvahs have processes, right? So sometimes a mitzvah is part of a larger process. Therefore, if you're not shy to the larger process, then the mitzvah, just part of that process, is going to fall away. So we're saying here too, the inoy is not standalone. It's part of a process. Simple. And therefore, if you're not shy after the process, you're not subject to the detail. Yeah?
So, I don't know if process is the word I would use, and I think it's significant for the following reason.
Yeah.
So, it seems what really this is a family of mitzvah. It is a family of mitzvah, right? That are all, I don't want to say they're not in service of some other thing like observance of Yom Kippur, they're constitutive of the observance of Yom Kippur. Right? The observing Yom Kippur just is performing these mitzvot. It's not like fast just so you will eat nafsho tehem. It's you'll fast. Right? Or that fasting, like, just is the way that you fulfill, just is the way that you do initem et nafsho teichem, i.e. there is no initem et nafsho teichem for purposes of, bilchus Yom Kippur, other than fasting. Why then the willingness to sacrifice chinuch d'rabbanan why then, just because this other thing that, the holiday, is putatively about, isn't something that Katanim can participate in. I just don't understand that reason.
I'm not sure I fully understood your question.
So, like,
but,
yeah.
I don't want to cut you off, but we have, 5 minutes. I just want to finish the section, and then we talk after Mincha?
After Mincha, yeah.
Right after this Mincha, I just want to make sure we finish in the middle of the section.
Sure.
I'll get back to you. Okay. All right, so the first approach within Hashlama D'Rabbanan are those who reject Hashlama D'Rabbanan. And now just to clearly document, those who accept Hashlama D'Rabbanan and make just one important note. Is that, just to go through, again, those who accept Hashlama D'Rabbanan are clearly Rav Huna and Rav Nachman. Again, Rav Huna, holds the difference between a chol and a bari in terms of whether the length of Hashlama D'Rabbanan will be 1 or 2 years. And when it comes to Rav Nachman, here we have a slight machlokes. Rav Nachman, everyone agrees, accepts Hashlama D'Rabbanan. The slight machlokes between Rashi and the Rif, in terms of how long that Hashlama D'Rabbanan is. According to Rashi,
2 years.
Rav Nachman and Rav Huna are exactly the same. Hashlama D'Rabbanan is 2 years for Bari, and 1 year for Chola, just like for Rav Huna. But according to the Rif, you look back quickly, the Rif differentiates between, and the Ron picks up on this, differentiates between Hashlama D'Rabbanan for Rav Huna and Rav Nachman. While within Rav Huna, he differentiates between a chol and a bari. Within Rav Nachman, he says it's always 1 year, as we were referring to earlier. And the Ron explains the machlokes there, that Rav Nachman is arguing and saying that because Hashlama D'Rabbanan is ke'in da'araisa, Therefore, just like by dinim d'oraisa, you never find any difference between a chol and a bari. So too, hashlama d'rabbanan, which is kein d'oraisa, shouldn't have a difference between a chol and a bari. The reason why that's important is also to highlight what we were discussing before. Before we were discussing the fact that hashlama d'rabbanan is the shleimusa, is the kein d'oraisa. And this is all in contrast to the chinuch l'shalos, which has the differentiation between a chol and a bari, even according to Rambam, because that's not kein d'oraisa. Just highlighting our previous discussion that the version of chinuch, which is kein, which is the mitzvah b'shleimusa, is the hashlama d'rabbanan, not the chinuch l'shalos. And this discussion of the Ran just highlights that. But again, Rav Nachman, based on this factor of kein d'oraisa, says that the hashlama d'rabbanan is not subject to a difference between a chol and a bari. While he admits that chinuch l'shalos is fine. Moving on, this is in terms of psak in the realm of rishonim. So going back to the Gemara in Ksubis and Daf Nun, right? In contrast to Tosos there in the Re, Rashi there explains when it says 12 and 13, that's referring to into the 12th year and into the 13th year, basically referring to years what we call 11 and 12. And basically, according to Rashi, that Gemara is referring to Shlomo Drabba. The Gemara in Ksubis, Daf Nun. So according to Rashi, a Stam Gemara, right, well, in contrast to Tosos, who thinks he learns the Stam Gemara in Ksubis is passing like Rav Yochanan, Rashi thinks that the Stam Gemara in Ksubis is passing like Rav Huna and Rav Nachman, that there is Hashlama D'Rabbanan. And that is the way the Rif paskins as well, that we hold of Hashlama D'Rabbanan, and this is the normative psak in the Rambam as well. I remember before, those who reject Hashlama D'Rabbanan was the Yesh Omrim. The Stam Deya is to accept Hashlama D'Rabbanan. And this shouldn't be, as pointed before, this shouldn't be such as, the fact that these, Amorayim and Rishonim accept Hashlama D'Rabbanan, again, shouldn't be so startling. If we pointed out before, this seems to be the Pash Pshat. Generally, Chinuch applies to when it's a Mitzvah B'Shleimusa, and Hashlama D'Rabbanan is the Mitzvah B'Shleimusa, is the Mitzvah B'Shleimusa version in the context of Yom Kippur. So that makes a lot of sense. But the one thing we should note, that it seems that even according to these Rishonim who accept Hashlama D'Rabbanan, and with this we'll conclude, even these Rishonim seem to have to admit that in the realm of Yom Kippur, Hashlama D'Rabbanan takes a back seat to Chinuch L'Shalos. In the sense that it seems like the primary Chinuch when it comes to Yom Kippur, even according to the Shittos who think that Hashlama D'Rabbanan also exists, even these Shittos still think that Chinuch L'Shalos seems to be the primary version of Chinuch. Oh, thank you. Good question. So I see that in two places. Number one, it's the fact that according to most Rishonim, the Mishnah only cites Chinuch L'Shalos.
Rashi.
That which I think is important for this point. And, we didn't read this Gemara, I don't think we're going to have time to read it either, but at the end of the Gemara, right, the Gemara is a Hamamina, that the term of Chinuch should only refer to Chinuch L'Shalos. And there's a Hamamina that says that Chinuch is not the right term for Hashlama D'Rabbanan. So again, both those points, I think, highlight that the primary chinuch for Yom Kippur is Sha'os, even according to those who accept Hashlama D'Rabbanan. Which therefore means that our previous analysis about why Hashlama D'Rabbanan by Yom Kippur should be downplayed, according to those explaining why it's like not Shayach to them at all, but it could be that even those who accept Hashlama D'Rabbanan will agree to that analysis, at least in part, to the extent that they'll say that the primary chinuch on Yom Kippur is not Hashlama D'Rabbanan, which would seem to be the Shleimusa, but is rather the chinuch L'Shalos. Because it could be that they agree in part to that analysis that even Hashlama D'Rabbanan, which seems to be the Shleimusa, really isn't the Shleimusa because Katanim are not Shayach to Inui. We'll get to Shalos later. I think serves a different purpose. And therefore, even those who accept the Hashlama D'Rabbanan still agree to the analysis that Hashlama D'Rabbanan is not the classical mitzvah b'shleimusa, and therefore even they agree that it's downplayed that really the primary chinuch is the chinuch of Shalos in the context of Yom Kippur. So we'll stop here because of Yom Kippur, Mincha is now, and we'll just.